Thank you for tuning in for the next 30 minutes to Victory Gospel Lighthouse Church. We are located at 907 Howard Street in Jennings, Louisiana. We would like to invite you to be our guest Sunday mornings at 10 a.m. for our regular service and Wednesday nights at 6:30 p.m. for Bible study. For more information, please contact us at P.O. Box 387, Jennings, Louisiana 70546. Now stay tuned for an exciting and anointed message from Pastor Austin Spell.
If you have your Bibles this morning, go with us to the book of Luke, chapter number 15. Begin reading from the 21st verse. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servant, Bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet. And bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found, and they began to be merry. Now, I've preached several messages from that setting of scripture, the story of the prodigal son. And most of the time, I believe I've preached about the younger son and the older son. But this message today, I want it to be about the actions of a wise and loving father, which we don't hear too many messages preached on him. Most of our minds are concerned with that prodigal son. But in verse 18 and 19, the son had already planned what he was going to do. He had planned what he was going to tell his father, but that's as far as he got, because God puts a great importance on the position of the father. And this father has a great expression of love to give him. And that position of fatherhood and the importance of it, I believe God gives wisdom. He gives love and leadership. He gives understanding, and he gives discipline to a godly father. Now, we know that fathers and mothers can raise children that don't take discipline too easy. We know that in spite of all you can do for them, they still make up their own mind to do their own thing, just like this prodigal son did. But there's always a price attached to that, especially if the father and the mother have given them godly counsel. And the father should give them love, counsel, all the things that God gives to a father to share with his children. Some receive this counseling and live by it. Others refuse to receive this counseling. And the father sometimes may feel guilty when a child goes astray, regardless of the godly counsel he's been given. But you should not feel guilty if you have delivered the counsel and the love and understanding that God's given to you to share with them. Because once they become the age of accountability, they become responsible for their sins. They're innocent until that time. And that's where the devil works the hardest in young people, as they mature, come into adulthood. Exodus 20 and chapter 5, God's word says, If a father worship any false gods, that this is passed on to the next generation. Now, there are some people who believe in generational curse, but the Bible doesn't teach that. The curse that's passed on to the next generation is because of what the father taught the children. Not because they are born with a curse because their grandfather was a horse thief. I know a lot of people like to check into their ancestry. I've always been afraid to do that. I go back as far as I want to go. When we get to the horse thief, I stop. But it's not a curse. It's the upbringing. It's what a wise and loving father gives to their children. They become a product of the environment that they live in. We've seen it. You've seen it. We've all experienced it to some point. A father who beats his son, as the son grows older and has children, he beats his children. Product of the environment. If a father is an alcoholic many times in the family, children or the son becomes an alcoholic, product of the family. But then there are those rare cases where they become what they want to be regardless. The curse is not passed down to them. They make the choices to do that. Every person makes a choice that they want to do this, that, or the other, whether it's good or bad. That's their choice. So the father becomes the one responsible for the falling away from God, because the father doesn't teach, and he doesn't love, he doesn't care. He lets the family go without any godly principles, without any godly leadership. And that's a sad thing to see, but we see much of it today, especially in today's world. This probably in itself is one of the most sinful acts of a father, because it becomes the reason that his children, possibly his grandchildren, end up in a burning eternal hell. How sad. But let's look at the character of a father, because a child generally takes on the character of the father. Sooner or later, the character of the father comes out in a child. It's something they can't hide. It becomes a natural thing. That's called a lineage of ancestry that we have. And we have that because we receive it from our parents, from our fathers. The child takes on the character of the father, and the character of that father should be a position of authority. The father's position. And in that position of authority, the father must rule with love, God's love. For he is our heavenly father and loves us when we go astray. In fact, loved us before we ever got saved. That amazing grace that we sung about today is ours. And it was sufficient for us yet when we were sinners. Because in the Old Testament, grace was placed upon individuals that God called to do great works. In the New Testament, Jesus brought an umbrella of grace to this world. And we know that because whosoever will can come and be saved. And we know that it is grace that allows us to be able to come to the cross and accept Jesus Christ. Grace, as I've said before, doesn't save us. Oh, but it gives us the opportunity, to be saved, to accept the Lord Jesus Christ. So that position of authority the father must have. And he must, in that position, command respect. But respect must be earned. I think I could safely say that we live in a society today where kids very seldom show respect for their parents. Come on. You see it, I see it. It may not be in your family, but it's in the world, we see it. It's most obvious when these commentators on TV talk to little children. You ever notice? Ask the little children a question and they say, yes, no. Not yes, sir. Not yes, ma'am. You see, they were raised in a family that didn't teach them to respect their elders. Now, some of you can't relate to back in the day. But if you like your pearly white teeth in your mouth, you better say yes, sir, and yes, ma'am. Huh? Look at the heads that are. I didn't know some of you were that old. Evidently, you are. At least you remember that we were taught to respect people. We didn't have to like them. They didn't have to be in our family. We didn't even have to know them. But if they spoke to us, we better respect them. Didn't always agree with parents, but always respected them. We learn, some of us, the hard way. And some never learn. Respect has to be earned. Respect is something that's earned. A father earns respect how? By teaching and sharing godly principles, and by showing respect himself. Yeah. If the father doesn't respect, his children are not going to respect. They're not going to enjoy that position because the father doesn't enjoy it. These are some of the signs of the end time. And we hear it quite often now. A son kills his father. Why and how does something like that happen? Well, because it's an evil. There's evil in the world today. There's a kingdom of darkness today that is ruling over a lot of people today, causing great harm. Well, it's a fulfillment of the end times. If you want to read about it, read Matthew 24 and other chapters and verses in the Bible that relate to it. It says the children would rise up against their fathers and their mothers. We see it all the time. We hear it all the time. Why? Because there was no love in that family. They were not shown to respect and honor. Honor. Wow. A position that reflects the love of our Heavenly Father should be the position of an earthly father. We have the love of God in us, if you're saved. If you're not, you have the love of self. And self only cares about self. But a father must teach his children how to show forth God's love. You see, children have a responsibility also. But the father has to teach them what they're responsible for. I would dare say that there are a few young people, not in only in this congregation, but that are in churches all over the world today, all over the America, that couldn't tell you what the fifth commandment is. Even adults don't take the time. The fifth commandment is the one with a promise. Honor your father and your mother, and you shall have long life. A lot of people, young people, are gone today because they have no honor for their mother and father. If you don't honor your father and your mother, you're not going to honor anyone else. Then you become a product of a society that steals, kills, and destroys at the hand of Satan. Living by example. Kids may forget that sometimes you tell them something, but it's not what you tell them that they remember. It's your actions. Those actions speak louder than words. So those children are looking at the father and the mother, the father as the leader of the house, to lead them and to guide them, and to show the actions of a loving father. A little boy in Sunday school was asked the question, what is the definition of a lie? Several little kids gave some definition to it. And then Johnny raised his hand and he said, I know it. And the teacher says, well, what is it? He said, I learned it from my father. She said, well, what is it? He said, a lie is an ever-present help in the time of need. Oh, Daddy didn't teach him much, huh? A lie is an ever-present help in the time of need. Well, it may be for the person who got in a bind and has to lie about it, huh? But living by example is what a father has to do. He has to be the example. They never forget your actions. Anyone can be a daddy. The world's full of them today. But it takes a man of principle to be a father. One who reflects the love of our Heavenly Father. When we talk about our Father, our Heavenly Father, you have to give to them what God gives to you. You can't give away something that's not yours. If you do, you're cheating. I often think of when Satan took Jesus to the pinnacle and offered him the whole world. All of these kingdoms can be yours if you'll bow down and worship me. And some people say, well, Satan doesn't bless people. Yes, he does. How can he do that? Because he's the power and prince of this world. That proves it. He offered Jesus everything. Why? Because he owned it. The power and prince of this world. You can't give something away that you don't own. So Satan owns this world today. But Jesus Christ, when he came to the cross, broke that dominion for those who will be saved and come to worship him, giving us power over that kingdom of darkness. And we have now the power that Jesus gives us that he had and used when he said, get behind me, Satan. The word says this, the word says that. He didn't accept what Satan had to offer, but Satan did offer it. So now we have the opportunity as fathers to tell the devil the same thing. God's word says this, teach our children, teach our grandchildren what the word of God says, that they may grow up with principle, character, the character of God. Something you don't have yourself, you can't give to someone else. If a father doesn't have love and wisdom and knowledge and understanding, he can't give it to his children. One of the saddest funerals I ever preached was a young man that got killed. I don't remember if it was an accident or a shooting or what it was, when I pastored a church years ago. But the family didn't go to church. They didn't have a preacher. They didn't have anyone. And the funeral director called me and asked me if I'd preach that funeral. And so, not knowing the family or anyone about them, but when I saw some of them, I knew they weren't church people because I could hear them talking. And I could see their actions. And at the funeral home, I could even see what they were drinking. And it wasn't Coca-Cola or 7-Up. Might have been Coke, but it wasn't cola. Don't know about that. But anyway, it was obvious. And when I went into the to look at the boy in the coffin, and I was totally surprised. His daddy was standing there when I walked up, and he was cursing the boy. Yeah. Now, Brother John, that's past stupid. He was cursing his dead son because he had gotten killed. And the daddy placed a can of Budweiser on his chest and put a pack of cigarettes in his pocket. That's the way he wanted him buried. Now that was a father without the love of God. That's a perfect example. Everybody doesn't do that, but yet, there are fathers without the love of God in them. And evidently, this family and this father was so far from the cross that they taught their children nothing about God. Only things about this world. So how do you preach a funeral like that? I didn't preach a funeral. I preached Christ and Him crucified. Did anyone get saved? No, I'm sure a lot of them got mad though. But those are the opportunities God gives us to share the gospel. And fathers need to take note of that. You can't give away something you don't have. So you have to have that love and wisdom and knowledge from God. That's the only place you can get that. It's from God. The only kind of father that can pass on to their own children these traits is a Christian father. A father who knows Christ as their Savior can pass that knowledge and that wisdom on to their children so that they too may be saved. There's an old saying, and I believe it's to be very true. It's not what you take with you when you die, because you know you're not taking anything with you. It's what you leave behind. What kind of legacy are you going to leave behind? What are they going to say about you when you're gone as a father? I'll give you one more example before we close. When I was working for hospice with Shelley, and that crew from Heart of Hospice in Lafayette, got a call to go preach the funeral of a patient who had been on hospice and passed away in Lafayette. And he was a retired, I think it was an Army man, and evidently he was a hard man. I didn't know anything about him except what I was trying to gather from his children. So usually in a funeral like that, I'll try to talk to the family to see what kind of a person is, so maybe I can say some good things. Well, he had a daughter that had flown in from somewhere, I forget. And I was talking to her, and I said, well, you came a long way, I forget where it was, but it was a long flight. And she said, yeah. She said, I just came here to make sure he was dead. I said, yes, ma'am. I'd heard enough from her. Then he had a younger son that came in a little while after that. And I was talking to him. And to him, that was the greatest father that ever lived. Great man. Now, see, that's what happens when kids are young and they see the actions of a father like this girl had seen, grown woman at that time. I didn't bother to ask all the questions that were in my mind about why she hated him so much, but evidently there were some reasons there. Doesn't justify hate, but still, a father had done something wrong to her. He didn't leave much of a legacy for her and her family. For the son, as the father grew older, probably mellowed out a lot, did some things with the son that the son enjoyed and thought were great. And so we have that situation again. What did the father teach the children? What kind of legacy did he leave behind? And one day somebody's going to question our legacy. What kind of father we were, how we treated our children, how we led them, how we taught them, how we brought them to church. And I have to tell you, when my kids were young, they had a drug problem. We drugged them to church on Sunday morning. We drugged them to church on Wednesday night. We drugged them to church on Sunday night. Yeah, they got drugged. But you see, when we're gone, They'll never be able to stand and say, well, Daddy never took us to church. We never learned about God. There was never a Bible in our house. Fathers, you think about that. You're going to leave a legacy behind. Those listening by our radio program today, and those looking or watching and listening by Facebook, consider that. You're going to leave a legacy. And it's going to affect your family for the good or for the bad. So a great responsibility is given to the father. God himself gave that responsibility to Adam. Adam was going to be a father. But Adam didn't live up. He didn't measure up. When Adam failed, now, ladies, let me help you out here a little bit. Because you see, Adam was given dominion. Yeah. God said, Adam, you have dominion over everything. Adam was the smartest man ever lived. He was able to name all of the animals by their characteristics, the birds, the animals. Oh, he was more than a genius. He had God's mind. He was created in perfection. God gave him all this knowledge and all this wisdom. So he was really the smartest man that ever lived. Don't matter about the geniuses today. They don't know anything compared to Adam, what he knew. But Adam, in his position of dominion, failed God. You see, well, it was the woman that sinned. It was Adam's responsibility to see that she didn't sin. Ooh, the ladies like that and the men are frowning. Eve wasn't given dominion. Adam was. And so when Eve sinned, and Adam, what he did was just go along with her. And then when God found them and they were naked, and he asked them how they were naked, it was because they had sinned. And immediately they began to look for excuses. Eve said it was the serpent. She blamed it on the serpent. Adam said, it was the woman you gave me, Lord. He blamed it on Eve. But it doesn't matter who you blame it on. We carry that original sin with us today. It's called a sin nature. And we have to overcome that. And the only way we do that is through the anointing of the Holy Spirit and the power of Jesus Christ that's in his name that we have over Satan. Because we can't do it ourselves, although we try. But a Christian father that gives more than lip service to his family is the kind of father God is looking for. More than lip service. It's easy to serve God with lip service. It's easy to say, I am what I should be. But once again, it's not proven by lip service. It's proven by our actions and our relationship to our Lord. When fathers have the right relationship with God, they're going to have a right relationship with their children, their spouse, and everyone else.
Pastor Spell and the congregation of Victory Gospel Lighthouse wish to thank you for tuning into our broadcast and want you to join us at the same time next Sunday morning at 8:30 a.m. for more of God's Word here on HLE Radio. If you would like to partner with us by spreading the gospel, you can send your support to P.O. Box 387, Jennings, Louisiana 70546. If you would like to listen to more sermons, you can do so by going to hleradio.com and clicking on Online Sermons, Victory Gospel Lighthouse. We hope you will join us next week. God bless you and God bless America.
No, I'm not perfect, and I'll never be. Your sweet forgiveness, Lord, can rescue me. Here comes His grace again. There goes my fear. Here comes my Lord and friend to drive me.